Welcome to this morning's service. We are themed around Action for Children's Celebration Year, and more of that later on. Our call to worship is responsive, so there'll be some words for you to say on the screen. We believe in God who loves us and wants us to love each other. This is our God. We believe in Jesus, who cared about children and held them in his arms. He wanted a world where everyone could live together in peace. This is Jesus Christ. We believe in the Holy Spirit, who keeps working with us until everything is good and true. This is the Holy Spirit. We can be the church which reminds people of God, because we love each other. This we believe. We're going to stand and sing our first song, which I've vaguely titled The Mission Song, because the last time we sung this was when we had Mission Sunday before. We come from the mountains.
This July marked 150 years since the Reverend Thomas Bowman Stevenson, a Methodist minister, gave the very first gift of childhood through the Children's Home, as the charity Action for Children was called back then. In 1869, he found a group of children living under the arches of Waterloo Station in London. Moved by what he saw, Thomas Stevenson set up a small family home in a nearby stable. And on 9th of July, he helped the first two boys, Fred and George, off the street. 2 years later, girls were also admitted, and the Wesleyan Methodist Conference approved the home. In 1872, a second home was opened in Edgeworth, Lancashire. The homes were divided into small family units run by a house mother and house father, which was in marked contrast to the large institutions and workhouses common at the time. Training was an important aspect, and graduates of the childcare course went on to work in the homes. By 1908, the charity had grown, with many more properties all over England and Scotland, to become the National Children's Home and Orphanage. In 1926, it became an adoption agency. By September 2008, it became Action for Children. This reflected a shift away from providing children's homes, most of which have now closed, to a wider range of services. Thomas Stevenson and his charity gave these children a safe and loving home, an education and hope for the future, the gift of childhood. Action for Children wants this anniversary to not only be a joyful occasion, marked with thanksgiving, but also to be a time of reflection and prayer for their work, which still remains a necessity. I'm glad to see you.
Linda will now read to us another case history, part one.
This is the first part of Colleen's story. Colleen started taking drugs as a way of blocking out what was going on at home. Both her parents were addicted to heroin, and life was chaotic. Her mum and sister left when she was young, and Colleen's dad couldn't look after her properly. She says, "When you're a kid, you look up to your parents, so I thought everything was normal. My memories of that time are still vivid, and I think they'll stay with me for the rest of my life. I took my first ecstasy tablet at 11 to numb my emotions. It gave me a false kind of confidence. Then I started taking anything that was lying around." Colleen's dad died when she was 16, and she became homeless. Her lowest point came when a violent ex-partner attacked her with a bottle.
We're going to stand and sing again now. Quite often we've sung this next song, "Empty, Broken, Here I Stand," as a personal confession for ourselves, and asking God to stand with us where we are. But today we're going to stand and sing it, if you like, with empathy with some of the people we've heard the case studies for and all the many others whose stories we won't hear today. So when you sing those words, think about perhaps those images, those stories, those other possibilities that are still in need out there. So let's stand and sing.
Thank you.
Do you know who this is? Okay. Interesting, different responses. It is actually, sorry, West Group, Mr. Happy. How do you know he's Mr. Happy? One is his great big smile. Anything else? He's yellow.
Nice sunny
colour. Yeah, his shape. Because if you know the Mr. Men well, they are lots of different shapes. And sometimes their shapes, as well as their colours, reflect their characters. So, yeah, this is Mr. Happy. He is part of Roger Hargreaves' family of Mr. Men and Little Misses. And I'm going to tell you a short story. We're going to tell you, sorry, a short story about, well, not about Mr. Happy, but about somebody Mr. Happy met. And we haven't practiced this, so. One day, Mr. Happy was walking home when he heard a noise. And then suddenly, a drop of rain splashed down on his head. But looking up, there wasn't a cloud in the sky. And then he saw, sitting on the branch of a tree, a somebody who sort of was, but wasn't. I know it sounds ridiculous, but it's true. You could see right through him. And he was crying. Real big, fat, wet tears, which is what had splashed on Mr. Happy's head. "Who are you?" Mr. Happy asked. The person who sort of was but wasn't said in a mournful, melancholy voice,
"Nobody."
"Nobody?" gasped Mr. Happy. "But everybody's somebody." The person who sort of was but wasn't sighed deeply.
"Except me."
And he started to cry more, real, big, fat, wet tears. "Can you get down?" wondered Mr. Happy, whose head was getting quite wet.
"Possibly,"
replied Mr. Nobody, and he climbed down out of the tree. "Where have you come from?" asked Mr. Happy.
"Nowhere,"
Mr. Nobody sighed, with a sort of sigh that breaks your heart.
"I know, I used to be somebody, but I can't remember who, or what, or where, or when."
He sobbed. Mr. Happy stared. He couldn't help it, because it isn't often that you meet someone you can see right through. "I think," said Mr. Happy, "that you'd better come home with me."
"Why?"
sobbed Mr. Nobody. "Because," said Mr. Happy, "we must do something about you."
"There's nothing you can do about a nobody,"
wept the sort of person who was but wasn't. "Of course there is," said Mr. Happy. "Follow me." Eventually they reached Mr. Happy's house. Mr. Happy thought hard. "Of course, the wizard," he cried. So Mr. Happy took Mr. Nobody to see the wizard. Mr. Happy tried hard to explain. "Ah," remarked the wizard several times. Mr. Nobody just stood there, looking as glum as anyone could look, his mouth turned down. The wizard thought hard. "Care for a cup of tea?" he inquired.
"Nobody's don't drink nothing,"
replied Mr. Nobody. "Nobody's don't drink anything," corrected the wizard.
"That's right,"
agreed Mr. Nobody. "Ah," cried the wizard, "that's it." The wizard rushed to his workbench and started to mix up lots of coloured liquids in a huge bottle. They bubbled and gurgled together. "What colour would you like to be?" the wizard asked Mr. Nobody.
"Nobody's aren't coloured,"
came the sad reply. "You choose," said the wizard, pointing at Mr. Happy. Mr. Happy thought, "Well, I've always rather quite enjoyed being yellow," he said. "Yellow it shall be," shouted the wizard. And the liquid in the bottle turned bright yellow. "Right, drink that," cried the wizard.
"Nobodies don't drink nothing,"
said Mr. Nobody. "Exactly," shouted the wizard. "Nobodies don't drink nothing, therefore nobodies must drink something." So Mr. Nobody took the bottle and had a small sip and then shut his eyes and then swallowed all of the liquid. Mr. Happy and the wizard watched and waited. Nothing happened.
"Told you so,"
said Mr. Nobody, sighing another one of those sighs that breaks your heart. And then they looked, and as they looked, they saw that Mr. Nobody's feet were turning yellow. And then his legs turned yellow, and then his body and his arms. In fact, everything except for his nose. They watched and waited. They waited and watched, and nothing happened. And then suddenly, Mr. Nobody sneezed. I wish you could have seen Mr. Nobody's face, because his nose turned yellow and his mouth stopped turning down and started turning up and up again. "Well," chuckled Mr. Happy, "I told you so. Everybody's a somebody." Ooh. Got to remember what I did now. If you look on the Action for Children website, if you watch the video clips and read the stories, and there are lots more despite the ones you'll see today, you'll find that there are lots of children who look very much like Mr. Nobody at the start of that story. They sit alone, stuck, as if they were hiding up a tree. Their mouths are turned down and they are sad. They cry real, big, fat, wet tears. They sigh in a way that breaks your heart. And they feel like nobody. They feel transparent, invisible to everyone, sort of there, but not. And their lives are colourless. Action for Children is very like the wizard working magic, providing a place to go when things can be made better. Listening, thinking. They don't do nothing. They make a mixture, a cocktail of different help. A support worker, a safe place, food, clothing, medicine, counselling, time, whatever is needed that looks bright. And often, gradually, bit by little bit, they bring the colour back into children's lives so that they are able to find themselves, their place, their time, their purpose, their security, their smile and their childhood, so that they are somebody again. So today, ask yourself this. Are you willing to be very like Mr. Happy? Linda's going to come and read us the other half of Colleen's story, where she changes from being a nobody to a somebody.
Colleen explains. I realised that I didn't want to live the life I was living anymore. We weren't really living. We were just existing. I thought, it's time to stand on your own two feet and become you instead of trying to please everyone. Colleen reported herself homeless and an Action for Children support worker stepped in. They visited Colleen regularly and encouraged her to believe in herself. Her confidence grew and she got the practical support she needed to find temporary housing. Colleen's life has changed dramatically for the better. She plays football for her favourite team, Celtic, and was selected to represent Scotland at the Homeless World Cup. She's happy, healthy, and looking forward to a bright future with endless possibilities. She says, "You're labelled as something because of what's happened in your past, whether you have control of it or you don't. But Action for Children helped to turn my life around."
Let us pray. As a good mother cares for her children, God cares for us. We confess that at times we have taken that care for granted. We have trusted in our own strength. We have turned away from God's love. In quietness, we remember before God the times when in thought, word and deed, we have failed to reflect God's love to the world. Even when we have travelled away from God's care, God is waiting, ready to run and meet us with open arms of love and consolation. Know in your hearts that your sins are forgiven. Thanks be to God. Amen. And now Ella is going to bring us today's gospel reading.
This reading is based on Mark 10:13-16. People were bringing little children to Jesus to have him touch them and bless them. But his disciples told the people to stop bothering him and shooed them off. When Jesus saw what was happening, he was very angry with his disciples and he let them know it. And he said to them, "Don't push these children away. Don't ever get between them and me. These children are at the very center of life in the kingdom. For the kingdom of God belongs to those who are like these children. I promise you that you cannot get into God's kingdom unless you accept it is the way a child does." Then Jesus took the children in his arms, put his hands on them, and blessed them. Thanks be to God.
They meant well. They were doing it for all the right reasons. They were not boorish or ungracious men. And although they didn't fully understand all that was going on, they could feel tension in the air. They caught the whiff of tragedy down the road that lay ahead. They were aware of the shadows that he increasingly hinted at when he spoke to them. And they could see their master was tired and labouring. It's been a long, busy day, and they all really needed a rest, not more bother. They just wanted to protect Jesus. And so, although it was quite normal that parents wanted a new and distinguished rabbi to come and bless their children, the disciples shooed those children away. When he saw it, Jesus was pained, indignant, angry, and very swift to rebuke his disciples. As the message so boldly puts it, he let them know it, and it was rebuke with commands. Do not hinder them. Do not stop them. Do not exclude the children. Let the little children come to me. So lesson one, never are disciples to stop people bringing children to Jesus. Never are disciples to stop people bringing children to Jesus. Look around you today. How many children are being brought to Jesus? How many children do you think live in this village, down this road even, in your family? How many of them are being brought to Jesus? And as disciples, are we doing anything to stop them? Would Jesus have cause to rebuke us? Turn that around and make it a positive. What could we do to bring children to Jesus? Answers on a postcard, please. Jesus cared about children, and even when he was hard pressed and very tired and facing the cross and knew about it, he always had the time to welcome children to him. And so should we, always. And typical Jesus, he used what had just happened as a teaching point for his well-meaning but mistaken disciples. Although children were on the whole cherished by Jewish society, in the Greek and Roman world they had a very lowly place. But Jesus elevates children. He deliberately includes them because they characterize the required attitude of a true disciple. The message has it like this. These children are at the very center of life in the kingdom. And the New Living Bible says, for the kingdom of God belongs to those who are like these children. So what is it about a child that Jesus so valued and that disciples could do to learn from? Well, you can use lots of words and lots of descriptions, but fundamentally, it is trust. A child, especially a little child, is entirely dependent upon its parent for the very nature of things. Total trust is the centre of a child's existence, whether that's for food, shelter, clothing, learning, growth, development, love, care. And for many of the children that Action for Children help, it is exactly that, a breakdown in that trust in one or more of those areas that makes the child vulnerable, invisible, puts them in need, in the way of harm, and potentially in great danger. But for Christians, God, our Heavenly Father, is the perfect parent. And as disciples, we have to be thankful for his gift of total trust. For without it, we cannot get into God's kingdom. So lesson two. Only with self-abandoning trust, like that of a small child, can we enter God's kingdom and receive his blessing. We must not bring our own agendas. We must see always our helplessness and our need to be healed. We must accept his authority and put our confidence in him. To know the secret of faith, we must become childlike and not childish. And typical Jesus, when he'd finished with words, he went on to actions. Jesus never doesn't practice what he preaches. The Youth Bible says, "Then Jesus took the children in his arms. He put his hands on them and he blessed them." What a wonderful that image that is for all of us as God's children. Jesus, the Son of God on earth, enacting Moses' ancient words of blessing on God's people. From Deuteronomy, "The eternal God is your refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms." Jesus is not afraid to reach out to touch and bless, for he is the source of all refuge and everlasting support. In exactly the same way that Action for Children offer hope by providing refuge and support. In a very ancient, dusty copy of William Barclay's commentary on Mark, I found these words about what he describes as this precious incident. Jesus was the kind of person who cared for children and for whom children cared. He could not have been a stern, gloomy, and joyless person. He must have smiled easily and laughed joyously. There must have been a kindly sunshine on him. I hope that makes you think of Mr. Happy again. There is indeed a warmth and light about knowing Jesus that draws people towards him, people of all ages. Despite personal fatigue, Jesus gets personally involved. To take children in your arms, especially little ones, you have to first get down to their level and then most likely lift them up. If you've ever done that, you'll know how much they love it. But just look at those words. Come down to lift others up. Isn't that what the whole of Jesus' life was about? Coming down to lift others up? And as his followers, shouldn't that be what the whole of our lives are about too? Getting down to lifting others up. So lesson 3. Get personally involved. Don't make any excuses for not doing. Whether the doing is in giving financially, praying fervently, telling others and spreading the message, or stepping in and joining up and getting involved practically and hands-on. We need to show an equal amount of effort and commitment to coming down from our homely places of comfort and self-need to reach out and lift others, especially children, up, to bless them and welcome them in Jesus' name. So 3 lessons. Bring children to Jesus. Trust God. Get involved. Let us pray. Gracious God, Father and Mother of all, we thank you for your immense love towards us. We thank you that through our Lord Jesus Christ, we are assured that each and every one of us is precious in your sight. You have made us so that all we depend and need one another is in you. We thank you for our families that we are loved and can love. We thank you that you had a special place for children and taught us how to value and respect them. We thank you for the wonderful gift of children. We delight in their thirst for knowledge, their spontaneity, their laughter, their enthusiasm, their natural ability of acceptance. We thank you for the gift of childhood, for the joy, wonder and freedom of the young. How blessed we are when this is shared with us. When there is love in action, there is Christ. We thank you for the rich experiences which come their way as they mature. Help us to be ever ready in our support of them. Thank you for the glimpse of your love that we have through them. And help us to remain children at heart, so that we may reflect something of the wonder of discovery in our lives. Help us to retain something of the directness and simplicity of children in our lives, so that we may offer hope, joy, and love to a hurting world. Amen. We're going to stand and sing our next hymn. It's a very short one, and I think the backing track plays the music of the tune once through. It's a very simple tune. It's a very simple set of words. Jesus, friend of little children. Is entitled How Action for Children Works, and this, out of all their video clips about what they do, was the only one we could find that had a little bit of everything in it. So there's little snapshots of people telling you about the extensive nature of their work, and then when that's finished, our personal Action for Children rep, Sue, is just going to come and say a few words about how she got involved.
Wonderful, a lot of work you've put into this, Elizabeth, thank you. I got involved with, well then it was National Children's Home, when one of our old congregation, a Mary Holloway, which a few of you may remember, was organising it, and I did house to house like an awful lot of us. Then when Mary decided to move away, she talked me into taking her place. So I've been doing that since about 2002. Did it for quite a few years, and I think it worked out at about 10 years. And then we were all getting a little bit older and all the rest of it. It was getting more and more difficult to find collectors. And with it being limited to, if you like, a Methodist charity, it was getting more and more difficult to find helpers outside of the church as well. So I stopped doing it. At the moment, I've only got two outside boxes now. One is in our local post office in Knaphill, and there's also one in Horsell, which was the post office, which is now Cost Cutters in Horsell. There's a few bits of material here. Bless her, Elizabeth has made some wonderful little home collecting boxes. There are a couple of League of Light boxes which I've bought here, and also there's some little prayer cards there if anyone would like to take them away. It's a prayer and you can even use them as a bookmark. But anyway, thank you very much. If anyone wants to ask anything else, I can perhaps help, I don't know. But bless you. Thank you very much, Elizabeth, for all the work you've done. And please help.
This is Ed and Stella's story. It was Ed and Stella's 13-year-old son, Joshua, who discovered the smoke coming from the family's tumble dryer. He raised the alarm and rushed out of the house, grabbing his sister Ariella's blanket as he went. Instinctively, he knew that she would need it. The family were told by the fire service there was nothing they could have done to prevent the fire. Ed describes the devastation they felt. Once you've dealt with the fire, you're then dealing with homelessness. It became like a second trauma. We lost the world at that moment. It's like grieving someone that died. It's not because of the belongings, though. It's the environment. After the fire, Ed and Stella's three youngest children struggled to sleep, and 4-year-old Ariella, who has autism, started harming herself. An Action for Children volunteer met the family and realised that they were struggling. She talked to them about the help available, and things started to change for the better. Stella explains, she got her sensory lights for Ariella, and it was like a switch. Homelessness changed for her that day. Ed, who also has autism, found it hard to cope too, in particular with the number of people asking him about what had happened. I couldn't deal with people crowding me, and without saying anything, they, Action for Children, knew that. Those guys at Action for Children took the brunt of people flooding towards me. All 4 children are back at school and are getting the help they need. Stella has also signed up to classes to learn how to manage Ariella's autism. Stella says, Action for Children is not like an organisation. They are a personal individual who cares, and they still do.
We come to our prayers of intercession, and they're going to be in 2 halves. The first half, worship group are going to sing with Dave Bilborough, recorded, I'm afraid. And there are going to be some pictures on the screen for you to reflect on as we sing through the words. And then after that, the second half, James is going to lead us in some words of a prayer that were actually written by one of the workers for Action for Children. So I suggest you remain seated and we'll sing.
Those who are Unwanted, unvalued, unplanned, alone, abused, neglected, abandoned, isolated, withdrawn, erratic, rejected, dejected, a challenge, a burden, dependent, needy, unfed, unclothed, unwashed, unloved, violent, untrustworthy, hard, cruel, robbed of their childhood. Lord, these are your children, our children, entrusted to our keeping. And we pray for all children, all young people, all families who struggle, victims of circumstance, of poverty, of another's deliberate act. Give strength and comfort to those in need. And let us no longer sit complacently by. Empower and encourage charities such as Action for Children as they seek to protect, to support, to nurture and provide. Impart your wisdom to decision makers in government. Shake us from our apathy, fill our hearts with compassion and our lives with determination, so that all your children may experience your gift of childhood, joyful, playful, innocent and loved, as you ordained it should be. Amen.
On the schedule, it was down to have a retiring collection in this service for Action for Children. But when Linda and I talked about it, we kind of felt that was a little bit off to have a retiring collection as you went. We felt that we wanted to dedicate what we were giving to God before we handed it over for Action for Children. So we're going to take our retiring collection now in the service. And then we're going to stand and dedicate it to God. Gifts. Before we were even aware of all we had been given, we bring our offering now as a token of our gratitude for all that you have done for us. Take our monetary gifts, our blessings and our prayers. May the stewardship of these gifts by Action for Children serve to bring the gift of childhood to those in our society who are in need. May their mission of compassion, protection and support for vulnerable children, young people and families be furthered in our community, strengthened and supported by our words, our actions and our giving. In Jesus' name, Amen.
I know some people might not have been ready for a retiring correction. I know it's been in the notices. And today is very much a one-off event. And to be honest, I kind of got a bit caught up in Action for Children. The more I looked into this, the more things I read and the more things I saw. And I thought, the anniversary was in July. It's a kind of shame we missed it, but we were in the middle of Colossians at the time, so we had to kind of find a space. And I thought, wouldn't it be great if we could actually make it last a bit longer? And so, totally independently of Action for Children, as it were, I thought it would be great if we could do something now that we started and saw out to the end of the year, since this is their celebration year. And when Sue had first talked to me about doing something for Action for Children as service, one of the things she'd said was, and I might not be quoting this quite right, not many people have collection boxes anymore. And that rang a bell with me. So you have got a collection box challenge. Over there, there are some collection boxes. Okay. It says on the top, in aid of Action for Children. And all the instructions are on them. On the front it says, keep this box for 150 days, not years, days, and collect money for Action for Children. Now, those who are good at maths can work out 150 days takes you to Christmas, New Year, the 8th of January. And on the back it says, return this box to Knaphill Methodist Church in the morning service on the 12th of January, 2020. I don't think about it, it's a long way away. 2020. So, you've got a start date, which is today. You've got 154 days, actually. And then we're going to return them. And on the service, on the 12th of January, there will be a special place in that service for these boxes to come back. And we'll do just like we have with our collection today. We'll dedicate them, and then Linda will have to count them all, and we'll send that off to Action for Children. So we've got 150 days more to remember Action for Children, to celebrate it, and to do something about it. And if you have visitors in your house over Christmas, you might want to suggest they perhaps, you know, add to this. So we can make this collection one of the best collections ever for all the work that is still needed. So that's your challenge. When you go, take a box, do not lose it, put it somewhere prominent, and you have a return date on it. So come the 11th, don't be looking for 5p's to shove in it. We're going to stand and sing our final song. I always find this song a challenge. I remember the day I first sang it, and I thought, my goodness, these words are really on the spot. It asks us to consider what we've heard, consider whether our hearts are bothered about what's going on, and walk a path that will help the disciples of tomorrow. And when you sing it, just remember that the chorus is a question till you get right to the end, and then it's a statement of commitment.
I'm
Our thanks very much to Elizabeth for helping us put together this service. We close with a blessing. God says, "You are never too young, never too old to be part of my work. Come near, all who are weak, all who are afraid, all who know their need of me. Lord, meet us where we are, meet us in our need. We give our lives to you. And as we go, help us to be Christ's hands and feet, to have Jesus' welcoming open arms, and exercise our Father's abundant giving to all God's children in the world today. Amen."